Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete, and he and I are going to talk about the loss that the Lakers took. Look, I'm going to be completely honest here. Pete's going to carry me through this thing. We took a loss in the Irwin household, and I haven't quite been myself. So, in the first segment, Pete and I are going to talk about the game itself and the lack of effort that we saw from the Lakers. And then in the second and third segments, we're going to talk about the ways that the Lakers can improve moving forward. Enjoy the show. All right, Pete. Let's go ahead and just like not care about the show. Are you all right about that? Or you know, this is
yeah,
now.
Man, actually, I mean,
technically, this is like take number two, so we can like not care if you want.
Man, that is certainly would reflect how the team played in this one. You know, there are a few games, maybe a couple games per year, where the Lakers' effort pisses me off so much that by the end of the game, I'm like, I hope you guys lose this game.
Yeah.
Like, no, just on general, like, we don't deserve, like, when we were down two, and there's always the, you know, part of me that's like, yeah, I hope LeBron knocks down this game-winning three, right, that he takes. But I'm
no,
like,
I hope he missed that last one. I wanted him to miss that one. I was rooting against that shot while it was in the air. I was rooting against
that. That was an insulting effort tonight, man.
It just sucks because of like the teams that the Lakers you would think would care about. You would think the Warriors would be pretty high up on that list, you know. Steph is like this kind of rival of LeBron's, and Pacific Division, you know, their interdivision kind of thing, and they just no. The Lakers were up by like 10 points, and I was like, all right, cool. They got this figured out. No, they just like stopped caring completely. And it was tough to watch it.
I hate going on the air and like it beating that same drum whenever they lose, but I hope it's easy for people to see too, right? Like,
yes,
Anthony, no scheme is going to work. It's a matter, there's like a certain level of give a shit that has to be a baseline level in order for you to compete. I would have loved to see more Alex Caruso tonight because he's one of those guys that's always going to bring it no matter the overall mood of the team. But really, I thought like LeBron kind of led the way in the lackadaisical effort in this one, right? Like there was a stretch in the third quarter where we were up by 16 and Andrew Wiggins got three straight wide open threes. And then there were a couple of other open threes on the next couple of possessions that other guys had, but were missed. And it was, I'm not talking like late rotations. I'm talking no rotations. I'm talking about guys standing there, mostly LeBron, and just like, it's fine. Like you can have the shot. I don't really care. And if it's gonna be like that, like sit a game out, you know, like sit the game out. I'd rather see THT get some run and see us, you know, hit full throttle. But it's frustrating even as an analyst to I don't have that much to.
There's no analysis, you know what I'm saying? Here. There's no analysis here. They didn't give a fuck. Like what are we supposed to say here, Pete? All right. Well, you know, tonight. The Lakers tried super, super hard for a quarter and then didn't. You know, like, what are we supposed to say here beyond that? And there is really nothing we can really say there. One of the things I'd like to talk about. So Marc Gasol gets 16 minutes total. He's been closer to 20 to this point in the season. And I think they're trying to find Harrell a couple more minutes, like here and there. He's just not as good a basketball player as Gasol. And I think the Lakers are going to kind of run up against this throughout the year where they're trying to find a slot for Montrezl Harrell like over the course of a game, but I just think on both sides of the court, Gasol is more useful, and I think they're really running into that. Like, I never felt comfortable while Harrell was out there tonight. Now, like maybe it was a bad game for him, and I'm kind of curious, like if you ever felt that same way watching him play too, because while I was watching him play, I was getting really annoyed, like how tough it was to watch him play. And Gasol finishes. So if you look at the starters, so AD was game high plus 12. LeBron was game low minus, or no. LeBron was minus 9. Morris and Kuzma were minus 12 and minus 13 respectively, and Harrell was a plus 2. I just never felt like very comfortable watching him play out there, especially defensively. And like they were picking on him by the end of the game. And I'm kind of curious, Pete, like, do you think this is where we're going to be with him? Like, is he an offensive weapon and not much else?
I mean, I thought he was fine tonight. I didn't think they were picking on him in particular. I mean, he was great on the offensive end. He had, you know, 17 on 7 of 8 from the field. And, you know, Vogel's got him on the perimeter a little bit more. I think the fact that most of his bench compatriots, like you said, Kuz was a minus 13, Morris was a minus 12, Wes Matthews was a minus 6, but he was a plus 2, right? That was kind of reflective of those minutes that he got alongside AD and in those lineups. But I've actually seen, you know, and for example, like there were a few times in transition defense where he's like the one guy back that's trying to help out on a transition defense play and, you know, and get a stop, but it's like two other guys aren't matching up or they're not running the floor. I don't know. Maybe I just have a soft spot for Trez, but I thought Trez was like one of the few guys in this game that actually brought what he needed to bring. I was much more irritated with LeBron and AD in this one. And like Mark was fine in this game in his minutes. I would like to see him get more than 16 minutes for sure. But like, I don't know. I thought Trez was fine personally.
Let's take a second here. When we come back, I want to talk about AD and LeBron because they played 38 wasted minutes, basically, you know, and that's where the Lakers are sitting at. That's like basically like if you were to ask anybody, hey, how'd the Lakers lose this game? You would say, well, yeah, LeBron and AD played 38 kind of listless minutes. So we'll talk about that. And then as we head into the third segment, I'm kind of interested. I want to finish this like with some fun because that game sucked. So Pete, I want to ask you in the third segment between Mark and Pau, where you're at in that conversation. I know you said you didn't want to. I know you said you didn't want to like touch that in on Twitter, but this is something that I'm really kind of curious about because I'm surprised how close that conversation is in my own head. So we'll get to that here in the third segment. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go. Always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. So is it just a matter of effort for AD and LeBron in this one?
Yeah, it's one of those things where LeBron often will try to control a game mentally. And that is, I'd say focus. So focus is the mental manifestation of effort, right? Like how, you know, we think of effort as like diving for loose balls and mm-hmm. running hard and like, you know, a physical thing, but it's also mental and basketball. Yeah. And basketball is so, there's so many micro decisions that you're making throughout possessions that LeBron's ability to mentally focus, he can dominate a game with his mind while not exerting a ton of effort physically, right? And this is part of the reason why he's still playing MVP caliber basketball in year 18. And this is the first game this season where I didn't think his mind was in it for most of it. AD, you know, started out wrecking shop and then I thought got really passive. And that was something that was true with both LeBron and AD. Way too many jump shots, way too much floating around the perimeter, not particularly interested in attacking the basket. And I think our shooters really suffer as a result of that. So really more than anything, it's just that assertiveness of I'm going to dominate around the rim. AD had that to start the game and then just kind of drifted away. But really LeBron more than anything, I thought just didn't have that mental focus that he normally does, even in games where he's not looking to push his body to, you know, it's not the playoffs, it's not huge stakes or anything, but he's usually able to dominate a game mentally, and he just wasn't there in that respect tonight either.
Is this like the kind of game that worries you moving forward, or is this just like, you know, just bad effort, move on from it?
I mean, it worries me moving forward in the respect that it's happened a couple of times, and these are wasted days in my opinion, right? Like we should be building
LeBron
towards something.
38 minutes.
Right. If you're going to have LeBron play 38 minutes, can we at least get a freaking win?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like let's get a win out of that. And it's also something where Vogel had some great comments before the game about how Golden State was a team that he watched a lot during his year off and studied them a lot and said that what Miami does on offense is very similar to what Golden State does, which is true. And that this game against Golden State in particular represents one of those measuring stick games of how do you defend against a defense, or how do you defend against an offense that's very handoff based, shooters running off of screens. Like there are three or four different types of offenses in the NBA, and Golden State, Miami represent one of those types of offenses. So this would have been a great time to really work on, and we haven't faced another team that fits that description yet. And so how do we look against a team that does run shooters off of screens, a lot of five out, a lot of passing from their big, Draymond in this case, Bam with Miami. It's a specific style of play that we could have gotten better against that. And we could have seen some of our strengths against that, but also some of our weaknesses. And of course they exploited our weaknesses, but so many of our weaknesses were focus-based and effort-based that it's not a productive game. Even if we would have lost had we focused, it wasn't productive because you didn't have the baseline effort level to determine, okay, next time we play against one of these types of teams, these are the adjustments that we're going to make.
I like that terminology that you use. It's like, it's not productive. We don't get anything from this game. Because, you know, most games, even if you lose, there's something to learn from a loss. You know, even if you so I remember from, did you ever watch any of the Mighty Ducks movies?
I did, yeah.
So in the third one, they tie their first game and their coach is like angry because they tie. He goes, we would have learned more from a loss than we got from this thing. And like the booster president was shocked at the fact that this guy like wanted to lose, you know? And in this case, like the Lakers did lose, but their effort level was so low that it's really hard to get anything from it, you know? And it's like, remember the very first game of the season against the Clippers? My concern there was that like they started with such bad matchups from a starting perspective that like you can't really get anything from those negative minutes. And so we have now, like with the Lakers' losses to this point, they have one loss against a team that they weren't able to get anything, like weren't able to glean anything because of the poor matchups in that one. And then in this last loss, because of how bad the effort was, you can't get anything either. So like you can't, what annoys me here from like a coach's perspective, and I think you look at this in the same way, is that like from a coach's perspective, you're not learning anything while you're losing.
Here's my one little addendum to that. Now thinking about it more, is maybe that is the lesson, right? Is that
maybe
those, we had a game, gosh, I forget who it was against, but we put Jared Dudley in, right? Mm-hmm. It was that one game that he played, and it was a similar game to this where it was kind of a malaise. I think it was maybe Chicago.
He kind of turned the game on its head, by the way.
Right. And just his energy and his effort level, and that we've seen it a couple of times now this season where they just don't have it, and they will turn on the gas for a certain period of time. They weren't able to do that in this game. I actually thought, like, with 4 minutes left and we were up by like five or so, I was like, I'm pretty sure we're gonna lose this game, just based off of their body language and all of that. And
I tweeted like 5 minutes ago in the game, I said, like, the Lakers deserve to lose this one. They deserve to lose it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that those guys that can bring it, that have that element to their game, getting run. I didn't see if Dudley was active for this game, but again, like more Alex Caruso, he's really the guy that I'd zero in on a, if we don't quite have it tonight, like let's make sure that those guys get minutes. Even KCP on an off night, like he will bring the requisite juice. And so maybe that is the lesson from this, is that when we have nights like this, there need to be people on the floor that pick up the energy level and make those types of effort plays and make those rotations that can help. And even if it's just like a, you know, diving out of bounds to save the ball type thing, the guys who make those types of plays that can kind of pick up the energy level for everybody become more and more valuable for a team that's playing to repeat. And that doesn't have anything to prove necessarily, especially in games like this. I think that they become more and more important. Even a guy like THT, right? You know that he's going to go out there, and even if he does, if he's, you know, doing rookie stuff and making mistakes, it's usually going to be with some level of zip and effort to it. And so I think that Vogel would be wise to be more mindful of getting those guys minutes, especially in games when you can see that the Lakers don't have that, even though they did have it to start out, but it was a very clear drop off in that effort level. And I think getting those guys run can help pick them back up.
Yeah. They like, as soon as they went to the bench, like you just saw the effort level just fall off a cliff. But let's take one more second here. When we come back here, I'm going to yell at Pete about, I'm not going to yell. I'm actually really curious, Pete, where you sit on this one, on this debate, on which side of the debate you sit on, between Mark and Pau Gasol. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus whenever you initially deposit your money at BetOnline.ag. Today's games that I'm looking at right now, so you have the Utah Jazz favored by 6.5 points against the New Orleans Pelicans, and you have the Denver Nuggets favored by 9.5 points against the Oklahoma City Thunder. My unprofessional advice would be to stay away from all of that stuff and bet the over in the New Orleans Pelicans Utah Jazz game. That's just how I would bet it, just because I don't really trust either of those two teams. But if you are, you know, just looking to have a little bit of extra fun, you can do so at betonline.ag, and then you can use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. And whenever you get your 50% deposit bonus, you can use that whole bonus and put it on the over in Pelicans Jazz tomorrow night, or tonight by the time you guys are listening to this. So one more time, Utah Jazz against New Orleans Pelicans, and the over under is set as 218. I think they're going to go above that. That's just my own inclination on the proceedings. Until then, though, you can do whatever you want. You can fade me, you can follow me, your choice. And if you're gonna do so, you have to do so at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. So the way I'm looking at this is, it's a bad loss. It's a stupid loss. Like, you know, nobody is sitting here thinking, yeah, that felt good. So let's have a little bit of fun. So I'm actually surprised at how close it feels to me between Mark and Powell. Where are you at on this one?
I love me some Mark, you know, great defensive player, 2012, 2013, I think, defensive player of the year.
Don't tell LeBron about that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. but Powell was the second best player on two championship teams. And I don't think Mark was ever quite that caliber of player. Right? I think that just the difference, both are remarkable passers. The game's changed a bit with Mark being a little bit younger than Powell. He's gotten a few more years in that five out three or key spacing type of offense. But he was also one of the, you know, part of the grit and grind Grizzlies, who were one of the last strongholds of the post game with him and Zach Randolph and all of that. And so, but Powell is a wonderful passer as well. The difference between the two of them, Mark's obviously a superior defensive player, but you could give Powell the ball and Powell could help you win high level playoff games as a scorer in ways that I don't think Mark ever had that element to his game. Right now, maybe Mark looks different if Mark gets his prime years alongside Kobe Bryant instead of Powell. Right. But I think all in all, the skill level and the footwork of Powell on the offensive end supersedes what the where Mark has the advantages on defense.
That's so the last point that you made right there, that like maybe Mark looks different playing alongside Kobe. Like that's the one that I'm having the toughest time with, is like the idea of like those, you know, what would it look like if he was playing with Kobe there? I think, man, it's tough because Mark is such a great passer as well. And I think he's probably more effective as a defender. Like, that it becomes tough to like, you know, kind of equate those two guys. But Pau did win those two he got those two rings. And until that actually happens here, and Pau got those two rings playing 30 minutes a night. If like even Mark's ring that he got in Toronto, he was playing 23 minutes a night. He wasn't getting the full 30. So I still have Pau ahead of Mark, but man, it's way closer than I thought it would ever be. Also, like it really says a lot about like how smart Mark is.
Yeah, Mark is a joy to watch, man. And seeing him as the older version of him and seeing how he understands angles, how he's actually still a fairly good shot blocker. He just blocks it when it's down by your head rather than up high and above the rim.
A great stripper. Like,
yeah. Yes. Marc Gasol is a great stripper.
I've always known that like extreme.
Ain't that a visual? Yeah, man. No, he's phenomenal on the defensive end, and it's no coincidence that our starting lineup going into this game at the very least, and they did great in the first half, and then they were crap in that third quarter and gave up almost all of that lead was with the starters, was how it got blown. But coming into this game, you know, their net rating was like plus 27.1. It was the best in the league of any lineup that had played 50 plus minutes, and they'd played 115 or so. So Mark, he's brilliant, but Pau was too, man. And I think it's funny. Remember when Mike D'Antoni became the coach and Pau was very like reticent to shoot threes that's when the league was really changing in that respect in a lot of ways. I would have loved to see Pau in this era playing in those five out offenses where, you know, you give the ball to him at the top of the key the way you do with Jokic. And if you sag too far off, he's going to bury that top of the key three. If you run shooters off of wide pin down screens and all this spacing. And he was a brilliant player that the Pau and Lamar duo kind of was a precursor to those great to the small ball era, right? Mm-hmm. They were a great small ball, big unit. So the skill set that Pau had just again gives him that little boost. And I think that era has a little bit to do with this, right? Is that Pau, his golden years were 10 years ago, whereas Mark's were closer to five ago.
Well, we saw the value that Pau had as the game evolved and he played in San Antonio and he started learning to be able to hit
Chicago too. Yeah.
Chicago's too. Yeah. And so we saw like the value that Pau had as he tweaked his game to be able to fit the modern era. But yeah, I did. I'm watching Mark though. This is why it sucks, because if I ask that question, people are going to think that like I'm inherently knocking one of those two players, right? I'm inherently knocking either Pau or I'm inherently knocking Mark. And the way I kind of look at it is like, no, both those guys are so great. Both those guys are so smart. They're so skilled. And they are so amiable to be able to fit like the entire situation that they have to fit here. You and I literally, what, two or three shows ago, we're marveling at the fact that Mark is ahead of LeBron on some of these reads offensively. you would never, like, there's not a single Laker, Pete, that, like, you and I have ever seen who would be ahead of LeBron on any of these reads. That's not something that, like, we would have ever thought possible. Also, though, had Powell been in Mark's spot, he probably would have been ahead of LeBron as well. So I legit don't know how I'm doing that math. I really don't know. But I'm watching Mark play, and he's bigger than Powell, which makes him more useful on defense. But is he, like, consequentially better on either side of the ball?
I think Mark's a good deal better than Powell defensively. And this, it kind of goes to some philosophical questions on how important is your big, right? Like, that's a position that's crucial on the defensive end.
Yeah.
But I just think that a guy that you can give the ball to in the highest levels of the game, your conference finals, your finals, you know, you remember that shot Powell hit over Rasheed Wallace, right? Mm-hmm. In that game 7, and that ability to drop step over either shoulder, you know, shoot the jump hook with either hand. Powell, those types of things are, I always think, you know, blessed are the shot creators. And Mark mm-hmm. is a shot creator in and of his own right. But if you stay home with everybody and make Mark a scorer to beat you, you're going to do okay. Powell would carve you up, and Powell would demand that second guy. And basketball's so contingent upon establishing advantage that being able to get the attention of a second defender while still, you know, Powell had great hands, could roll to the basket and was a more fluid finisher around the rim than Mark was. So he was always a better pick and roll guy. Mark can pick and pop, but was never as good as a roll guy. Those things really trump everything else in a way that Mark's defense, for as much of an advantage as he had over Powell on that side of the ball. Like, I'm pretty firmly with Powell on that.
You know what it is? We're both older brothers. Powell wins.
There you go. Simple as that.
That's where I'm sitting in. All right. I'm going to call it a wrap on this show. Hey, so you guys have probably recognized by this point, as is per, like, normal shows, Pete has carried me for this one. And the reason Pete has carried me in this one is because we took a pretty heavy loss here in the Irwin household. And I have not been dealing with it very well. And so Pete, like, thank you for carrying me the way you have in this show. And I would say to everybody listening, so Jeff was the person that we lost, and he and I didn't see eye to eye on anything politically, culturally, anything. He was a USC fan, and I'm a UCLA fan. Like, we never saw eye to eye on anything. He passed away. He took a nap and he never woke up. And I would just say to everybody, because of how polarized everything is in our country right now, give a hug to everybody that you hold dear, because you just never know. You never know on this shit. I'm you know, I, next time I see you, Pete, I'm gonna give you a big ass hug. My brother and sister-in-law, while you know, they live closer to us now because of the move that we made, I gave them a big old hug. It's been tough. It's been really, really tough. And so Pete, thank you for carrying me through the show. And I'm hoping that, you know, those of you who are listening, just give your family a hug, man, because 2020 sucked, and 2021 doesn't appear off to that much better of a start.
Sorry, man. Hang in there.
It's been brutal. It's brutal. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in the way you have. I will be back. Pete and I will, no, I will be back with George Sedano tomorrow. So you guys are going to want to listen to that. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.